All right, what is up, everybody? Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Today is the last bonus episode that I, host Tyler Stinchcomb, am dropping for the Christian Zookeeper. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I'll be coming back in 2025 at an unmarked time. For what this podcast is going to be from now on is from Genesis to Giraffe. So I am so excited to share with you guys what that will be. And actually, if you stick to the end of the episode, I will tell you guys a little bit of what From Genesis to Giraffes is going to be. But right now, let's just talk about pumas. Mountain lions are one of my absolute favorite animals, and we get into it a little bit on this podcast, but I get to interview a friend that I made down in Costa Rica, Ava Carver, and she had some awesome information for this episode. So I'm really excited for you guys just to listen to her and all the answers that she gave me. Real quick off the top, though, I started saying pumas and then I said mountain lions. They're the same thing. They have like one of the most, like this species, which is Puma concolor. That is the genus species name for that, this animal that lives out in the mountains. It's exactly what you think, mountain lion, puma. They're the same animal, same with cougar. And then they have a long list of names that are all common names for this species. But really, I call them pumas because that's just the genus or part of the species name of that species. So for me, it's just puma. Puma concolor is the full species name for what a lot of people know as the mountain lion or the cougar. It's the same animal. It just kind of depends on what region of the United States that you are, that you live in, that you'll be calling that animal a puma or mountain lion or cougar. And I guess real quick, while I'm spilling facts about these animals, I did some papers on them in grad school, and they're just such a cool species. They are a North American species, so they're going to be found in Canada all the way down to South America. So not just North America, sorry, but both Americas. They're the most diverse cat. They can be found in literally every single natural environment found in North America and South America, from deserts to thick boreal forests to mountains to wetlands. There's several different subspecies of mountain lions. Most famously is the Florida panther, which is a mountain lion species that is found in Florida. Again, jump back to mountain lions, but sorry, pumas. Again, same species, which is wild. It took me a little bit to wrap my head around that. Oh, yeah, it's the same species. It's just interesting. Since they're so diverse and found literally everywhere, they have, like, so many different common names than a normal animal. So that's pretty cool. Let's get into the episode. Let's talk to Ava. So here we go. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this bonus episode. I'm here with my friend Ava Carver, who I met in our Costa Rica trip. And today we're just going to kind of talk about mountain lions because she's really interested in them just as I am. So we'll get a little bit into that. Ava, thanks for joining me on the podcast. I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
Sick, dude. Let's get right into it with some of the questions. So first off the bat, what's made you interested in mountain lions and their conservation?
Well, my passion for cats honestly started out when I was younger. And since then, I have kind of devoted my whole life and career to studying cats. And I guess mountain lions, they're super cool, but they're the most accessible for me because I do live in the U.S. So we do have a few species, but the mountain lion, I think, is really cool. And I was actually able to move out to Colorado to be closer to them and potentially get my PhD studying them. So it's kind of grown over time because I've not really focused on a certain species. I kind of love every cat species the same, and I have an appreciation for all of them. And yeah, I'm super excited to talk about mountain lions because they are very interesting.
Yeah, dude, and some of my background too. So for like our master's program, I also have done some papers on mountain lions, and I fell more in love or more interested in them than I thought I would. Because like I don't know, for me, just growing up, they're just like the basic North American cat, and other cats, big cats, were more interesting, like snow leopards and tigers and lions. But then getting to know more of like their biology, their behavior, and then getting to work with a pair. So at the zoo that I was working at, I worked with Eli and Elsa, two mountain lions, and they're just amazing. Their personalities really drew me in, and now I'm sucked into mountain lions. They're so cool. So yeah, I'm excited to
They
talk a little
are.
bit more about them. Yeah, they're oh dude, getting to like hear their noises too. They have some creepy noises. I don't know if you've
Oh,
heard them like
yeah.
up close, but
Yeah, if I was camping by myself and I heard them at night, I'd be like, that's a little creepy.
yeah, they're Elsa that I work with like talks a lot to keepers when she's hungry, and she just does her like little like I don't know, they're kind of like house cat noises, but like up to like an extreme high volume level. when she's really hungry. All right, so I got another question for you. What kind of work would you like to do with mountain lions? Because you said that you were kind of aiming to get with your PhD, and we kind of talked earlier off mic of like, you know, potentially with PhD it could roll into a different species, but I know you would like it to do something with big cats. So what would you like to do?
Yeah, so one of the main things that I'm focusing on, and what I actually focused on for my master's program was urbanization and how it's affecting big cats and other wild cats around the world. So basically, mountain lions are being pushed super close to humans more than ever before because urbanization continues to grow and grow. And one of the problems that we see is livestock becoming more accessible to mountain lions because they do eat a lot of deer and elk. They will prey upon livestock and sometimes pets if given the opportunity, because they're opportunistic hunters. So with this, we have a lot of retaliation from farmers. So one of the things that I want to work with is just kind of like mitigating these relationships and making sure that we can do a lot of conservation that focuses on non-lethal methods. So what we're dealing with is farmers are upset from the loss of their livestock. So they are retaliating by getting depredation permits. And with this permit, you're allowed to kind of take care of any species that is affecting your livelihood or your health or well-being. So with this, a lot of lions are being killed, which is really sad. And I would like to make sure that we are focusing on non-lethal methods, like there's bear dogs. I can't remember the exact name of them, but there is a bear dog program in Washington, and they are released during these conflicts. And they kind of chase off the lion, and this is, I prefer this method because when you're killing a lion, it's not really doing anything. You're just essentially killing this animal, and it's really sad. So I would like to work with farmers and make sure that this is not happening.
Yeah, well, and with just killing an animal too, I read like some research in I think it was India. They had problems with like leopards like killing livestock and stuff too, and they would kill the leopard that had the problem. But then what would happen is just another leopard would come into that territory and do the exact same thing. Like you're not getting rid of the problem, you're just prolonging it until another animal comes in and does the same thing. You're not fixing it.
That's what happens with the mountain lions. When a male is destroyed, younger male lions will move into the territory, and there will be competition to
Yeah, and they'll do the same thing.
take over.
So yeah, there that's yeah, I'm with you. It's that's not sustainable. No, not at all. And I didn't know there was a permit to be able to like essentially poach. That's wild.
So in California, that's the only state where mountain lion hunting is illegal. And Colorado just recently tried to ban mountain lion, lynx, and bobcat hunting, but it did not go through, unfortunately. Well,
Oh,
not
shoot.
unfortunately, because there are differing opinions. This ban could be positive or negative, looking at it from different perspectives.
Interesting, dude. I might have to look into that a little bit more for some post-podcast research. So
It
when it
is, yeah.
comes,
So it's a lot, it's really interesting to look
yeah,
into.
no, I'm definitely gonna look into it. When it comes to like their conservation, what would you like people to know just about mountain lions and their conservation? Is there anything else?
Yeah, so mountain lions are highly adaptable. They can adapt to pretty much any environment, and that's why we see them thriving in urban America. They are keystone species, meaning they play a critical role in maintaining the balance of their ecosystems. And this is established through a top-down control. They help regulate populations of other animals like deer and elk because they this is their prey animal, their preference. And by hunting these large herbivores, they are preventing them from overgrazing vegetation, which can harm the ecosystem. So without predators, large predators like cougars, deer and elk can freely browse, and this destroys plants and habitats that are vital for smaller species like birds and amphibians. And they're also considered a bellwether species. Their presence
Oh.
and behavior can give us important clues about the overall health of an ecosystem. Areas that support healthy cougar populations tend to have a rich biodiversity of species and natural communities. And I feel like knowing how the behavior of mountain lions changes through urbanization and other anthropogenic effects, we can learn how to better help other cat species.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Did you say a bellwether species too? 'Cause I don't think I've ever heard that term.
Yeah, bellwether species.
What does that mean again?
So it's just they kind of indicate they're an indicator species of the health of an ecosystem.
Okay. So kind of like a keystone species then.
Yeah, similar things, but yeah, it just kind of is just saying it's an indicator of how healthy a ecosystem is with their presence or absence.
Oh, cool, man. I learned something completely new. I'm writing that down to look that up more too. Sweet, dude. So I remember one of your articles for, I don't know, some article that you wrote was about like kind of how people should behave living with like mountain lions, like especially in Colorado, that
Yes.
now you're in Colorado, so you're a, what do you call people from Colorado? Is it Coloradians?
I think it's
Okay,
Coloradans.
that. All right, so now that you're
Yeah.
one of those, how do or should people like behave living within mountain lion ranges?
Yeah, well, first off, I know a lot of people are moving into mountain lion territory, and that in itself can cause a lot of fear. I think one thing that we need to understand is they were here first. And if
Yeah.
they're willing to, not necessarily willing, they kind of have to become adaptable. If they're willing to be able to live within our presence, why can we not also learn to live within their presence? So
Amen.
with that, I think a lot of people that I've talked to out here, I'll kind of ask them, I'll be like, would you rather run into a black bear or a mountain lion if you're out hiking?
Ooh,
And
good
they'd be like,
question.
black bear for sure. And I'm like, well, honestly, like I tried to do a project looking at the mortality rates associated with black bears and cougars, but I didn't wasn't able to get too much because a lot of the data with that is hard to access.
Okay.
But I do know that there's only been 29 fatalities on humans associated with mountain lions over around 200 years. So it's been since
Whoa,
1868.
really?
So that's only, yeah,
That's
that's
really
only
small.
0.18 attacks per year.
Yeah.
Compared to black bears and grizzly bears, it's 1 to 2 people per year. And also, I think I
Sheesh.
got this statistic from the Mountain Lion Foundation, but you are, I think, 1,000 times more likely to be struck by lightning than getting attacked by a cougar. So
Oh
it
my gosh.
really puts that in
Wild.
perspective.
Yeah, it does.
And I kind of touched on this earlier, but with depredation permits and hunting, and also a big problem is vehicle collisions because mountain lions are being struck by vehicles pretty frequently. So in California, 2 cougars are struck by vehicles every week on average. So honestly, when you think
Sucks.
about it, we are the real problem when it comes to human mountain lion encounters. It's very important to know what to do when you're in mountain lion territories and also what to do if you encounter one. So if you do see one out on a trail, what you should do is continue facing it. Do not bend down. Don't crouch. Don't get down on the ground. Also, do not run because that will make
Yeah,
them
that's
think
what I
that you
heard.
are prey, and that
Yeah.
will not end well for you. And if you are with a child or a dog, if you can, try to pick them up without crouching down, and you can try to put them on your shoulder. It'll make you appear bigger while also keeping that animal or child safe within your reach. Also, you can, if you can't crouch, I mean, if you can't get them without crouching down, you can just put them behind you. And then what you want to do is make yourself appear larger by either puffing out your coat or waving your arms around. And if you have a whistle, you want to make sure that you're making loud noises by
Oh,
whistling or
yeah.
yelling. And if it seems like it's still interested in you, you can start throwing stuff towards it, not at it, because that could just anger it if it's not already coming after you. So just start
Yeah.
throwing stuff at it again without crouching down. So just grab stuff from around you, like while you're still standing up, like branches, any rocks that are on hillsides beside you. And if it starts coming towards you, that's when you can start throwing stuff at it. And also, if you're wearing a backpack, you want to kind of position it to where you're covering your neck, because they tend to go after your neck when they are taking down prey.
Yeah. Okay.
So those are all things to remember. And to avoid conflicts,
Wild.
try not to run in mountain lion areas at dusk or dawn, and do not wear
Yep, I've
earphones
heard
because you will
that.
not be able to hear them. And try to be aware of your surroundings because they can sneak up on you and they will come at you from behind.
Yeah,
Yeah, so
sheesh.
a lot of people know what to do with bear encounters, like black bears and brown bears. They know if it's brown, get down. If it's black, like fight back, stuff like that. But they don't necessarily know what to do with mountain lions. But a lot of it
Yeah,
is the
I think you're
same. So
right.
just remembering that you will be fine. Hopefully, you should be fine.
Yeah.
Just keep calm. Do everything you're supposed to. And this lion, this cougar, probably doesn't want anything to do with you. It's probably just as scared as you
Right.
are.
Right. Like I've heard most of the interactions is usually like a mom protecting her cubs, or it somehow felt threatened by you at some point. But yeah, I've heard like
Yes.
the big things like yeah, you never want to turn your back to it, like keep it in your
Yeah.
vision. I heard to like lock eyes with it. Is that accurate at all too? Of just like making eye contact, or is that going to scare it? Because some I've worked with
There is.
many different species that sometimes it does it works, sometimes it
Yeah.
doesn't.
I've seen multiple different sources that say, like, stare at it, but don't look at its eyes. And like some will
Okay.
say, look in its eyes. I don't feel comfortable saying whether you should do one thing or another,
Sure.
but definitely make sure you're staring at least at it.
Like keeping it, yeah. Keep
Yes.
looking at it. Yep.
Yeah,
No, I
that
get
way
that.
it won't catch you off guard and it won't see you as a prey animal. And typically they don't see humans. They don't see humans standing up as prey, but if you are crouching
Yeah.
down, they will see you as a four-legged animal, and associate as something that it wants to eat.
Have you seen that like viral video that like it was like a couple years ago of a runner and it was someone one mountain state like maybe Colorado that filmed like a mountain lion stalking him, not stalking him but just like yelling at him and
Yeah, I think he started throwing
walking
like
towards
rocks at it too.
yeah and it was
Yeah.
like a 10 minute video of like him just walking backwards and this mountain lion was just like dead eye locked eyes with him walked the entire way for like 10 minutes and
Yeah.
just like it is definitely tense and scary, but like you're right, like they don't want
Yeah.
to attack you.
I'm sure what that cougar was doing was just either steering him away from a kill or its cubs. So he did everything right. If I remember correctly, he was doing
Yeah,
everything right. He was backing away slowly. He continued looking at it. He was kicking stuff at it. Yeah, he didn't
I thought
crouch
the
down at
same
all.
thing,
So that was
yeah.
a good, and he survived. So
Right?
if you do what he did, then you're good.
Yeah, 'cause I remember him yelling at it and yeah, throwing things and
Yeah.
stuff. Wild to see that on camera though, but it works. Like, yeah, just
Yeah.
don't turn your back and
Yeah.
don't run.
It definitely would be scary
Wild,
though. Yeah.
dude. Yeah, it would. Oh, definitely would. Well, sweet, dude. That's all the questions I have for you about mountain lions. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you want the people to know about mountain lions, or did we cover everything?
We've pretty much covered everything. I
Dude,
just
let's
think
go.
that people should try to see these predators as more than just predators because they do have very important roles in the ecosystem, and they have a lot of cool traits. And they're not just scary animals that are out there that are trying to eat you or eating your pets. They're just living here, and we are living with them.
Yeah. Hey, well said, dude. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ava. And it was super fun talking to you about mountain lions, one of my new favorite animals.
Yeah,
Let's
it
go.
was great. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That is a wrap for the episode. I hope you learned something about pumas. If you do want to learn more, just go look up some research or send some questions to me at thechristianzookeeper@gmail.com, and I would love to try to answer any questions that you might guys might have for pumas. But I think Ava did a great job at answering all my questions, and they're just such a cool and unique species, and because they're found in North America, they're really interesting to me because they're the big cat you can find in your backyard, which is really cool and really unique. So, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm going to get into a little bit about what From Genesis Through Giraffes is going to be. So, drum roll, let's get into it, guys. So, there's going to be no more Christian Zookeeper. This podcast feed is now From Genesis to Giraffes. And starting in 2025, I will be dropping From Genesis to Giraffes episodes, which are going to be all about, each episode will be an episode about an animal from the Bible. So it could be an animal that is just in one obscure psalm or that is referenced several times in the Bible. And I will be going a deep dive on that animal, deep dive in the zoology and the behavior of that animal and the characteristics that make it unique and stuff that I find super unique about that animal and just its behavior and its anatomy. And then we'll get into what the Bible has to say about it. Why did the Bible reference that animal? What has God wanting to tell us about us or about Him through this animal? What can we learn? So I am so excited to start that podcast, to get into it, to talk about animals through the lens of a zoologist and a Christian. And I think it's just a really cool natural turn for this podcast to go into, and something that's been really just making me really excited. So I'm really excited to start that in 2025 with you guys. And so you'll, yeah, just look out for that. It's gonna be awesome. And you guys just have a great new year. I'm done here. Let's go. Deuces.